Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. It is so good to be in PATH Conference. And I know it's been echoed many times, but it's my turn to say how much I feel honored to be here. It is my privilege to be able to be here, to mix with the brethren, and be blessed by good preaching. Praise God. We have been blessed. Amen. There isn't a message that I have not received unto myself. I take it personal. I take it personal. Amen. I feel like everything the preacher says, God, I need it. I want to be saved. Amen. Life is too short, and it's moving so rapid the last few years. It's like, and I may not be saying it exactly right, but it was like one day I fell asleep and I woke up and I'll be 60 in November. I don't feel it some way. Some ways I do. Some ways I don't feel like a 60-year-old man. But such as it is, we can't change that. But I need all the preaching I can get. Amen. And I want a preacher man to reach into my life. We are saved by preaching. Amen. Amen. Thank God for men of God that have been here this week. Men that are out there today. Amen. Though we haven't heard from them. Amen. They are men of God. They are men for God. Thank you, Elder Garza. And to the Church of Madeira, we have a personal feeling toward Madeira. We lived here for right at 5 years, from 1974 to 1979 to 1985. And these were some good years, a lot of good memories. Being here inside of this hall brings back some memories. There's a lot of changes, but I salute the pastor and elder, Brother Garza, and the church in Madeira. Have they been fine hosts? My. From the very coming through the doors, the greeting, the availability to accommodate you for whatever you need. They truly have gone out of their ways. The meals, the kindnesses of everybody. And we are more than thankful. Praise God. Amen. I salute every preacher, every pastor, every evangelist, and the saints of the Most High God. Amen. If we could turn into the Word of the Lord, amen, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. And I'd like to read something in your hearing, and this has meant a lot to me, and I will share it with you, but and I'll explain a little more in just a moment, amen. But in verse 1, the apostle said, he qualifies his position, he identifies his office in the introduction to his second epistle to Timothy, his son in the faith. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. I like that. By the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. I'd like you to focus your attention on verse 5. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, says thee, but paraphrasing a little bit, in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Amen. I want to open my heart up. Amen. The best that I can before God. And I just want to talk on this thought. Influences that can affect your life. Influences that can affect your life. Shall we pray? Jesus, we love you. Father, we give you glory and praise. The letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. We are washed by your word. We are begotten by the word. We are saved by preaching. Lord, we want to be saved. We've come too far. Jesus, give us the strength for the remainder of the journey. Touch our hearts. God, we are the receptacles of your spirit. Our ears, our heart are now ready to hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. Speak to us, God, your will, and we will serve it in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Influences that can affect your life. Amen. My grandmother, who has now passed and gone on many, many years ago, came into this oneness apostolic faith somewhere in the early 30s. My father received this truth somewhere in the early 40s. I had the privilege. It doesn't make me any better than someone who hasn't, but I count it an honor, amen, to be raised in Oneness Apostolic Church. Amen. I'm thankful that I've been able to raise my children in Oneness Apostolic Faith, my grandchildren, amen, in Oneness Apostolic Faith. But it started way back. It's not necessary. Amen. I don't feel, as I said, that I have any merit than anybody else who hadn't. This house is full of many, amen, that they were raised in this, but God brought you out. And here you are today. Amen. You've been filled with the Spirit and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You embrace the oneness of the Godhead. You believed, amen, in a God, the only God, the one true God. And here you sit today, once again, under the voice of preaching. Amen. Preaching came in to my life at a young age. I am thankful for the things that influenced my life. There's many influences in our life. You can't live life without influences. They are inseparable. They are joined together. You cannot separate them. If you come into life, you will bear the brunt, amen, of influences. Influences is a necessity. Influences can cut many directions. They can go deep. They can run shallow. They have no biasness, amen, to where you have come from in life. They are no respecter of persons, whether you are poor or rich, no matter where you came from. Amen. Influences is standing close by to have an effect upon you. Amen. To turn you one way or another. Amen. Influences is a part of life. Amen. The older I get, the more I study life. When I was young, I lived for the moment. Amen. At least I did. I am not judging everybody by that comment, but I did. As a child, amen, a week seemed like a year. Amen. A year seemed like forever. The days are swiftly passing. Amen. The seasons are coming and going so fast. Amen. But regardless of the leaf falling off the tree, I cannot escape the reality that influences is always close by. Amen. At the end of the day, amen, I consider many things. Lord, is my heart still right with you? Lord, is there anything today that influences, cut deep? Is there a root of bitterness by the effect of some influence, amen, that is lingering in my heart and in my mind? I want to clear the deck at the end of the day, amen. I want God to know that, Lord, I came into this with all of my heart, and I want to go out of here with all of my heart. Regardless of the influences, amen, we have got to come under the influence of the power of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Influences can be a challenge. Influence can be a test. Influences can bring you to the precipice, amen, of dedication. Influences, amen, is a call. It's a challenge of what you really are, what you are really made up of. Influences, amen, is the condition of environment that you will find yourself in, that at any moment, amen, you may shock yourself, amen, of which way your foot may turn, amen. And all you can hope and all you can pray is that there is a backlog of prayer, amen, and a consecration that goes deep. And you better pray that somebody beside you is praying for you, because somewhere, amen, influence, amen, is beckoning you one way or the other. Thank God, amen, there is a right way to turn. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Who influences your life? My mother, who has been dead for going on close to 20 years now, amen, long before I ever lived for God at the age of 18. Young people, I want to say something here. Don't be a knucklehead. Don't be a deadbeat on a Pentecostal pew and just sit there year after year after year, preaching after preaching, revival after revival, altar call after altar call, and waste precious years because of the influences, amen, that may be attracted, amen, and things that are putting its hook into your carnal nature. Don't waste precious years. Give your years to God. Be influenced by the preaching of the word of the Lord. Be influenced by the altar service. I'm telling you, it can spare you a lot of misery and a lot of bad memories. There's a lot you won't have to deal with when you get older. Keep the slate clean. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Influences. I thank God for my mother. Amen. She was the first one that I remember took me and my sister, that's just younger than me, in one arm and one in the other. And we had a series of Bible books with simple little pictorial illustrations. And she would say, Dennis, Karen, pick out a story. And I remember so clearly, and the emotions still run deep and hot inside of my heart when I think about it, as my mother began, under influence, began to read the stories about
walls of Jericho coming down. The stories of the apostles, the stories of the miraculous. I remember so clearly my heart would leap with emotion at such a young age. There was a Sunday school teacher, and man, I wish I could remember her name. If I was an artist, I could write it, I could paint it, I could draw the picture of that dear sister in a very young age. Amen, I was. And she would tell us about Jesus and about prayer and about living for God. I remember every Sunday before we left that little Sunday school room, she would take her finger and call us by name. Amen. She would say, Dennis, the world is full of bad influences, and there'll come a day that you'll need God. Amen. Don't be afraid to call on the name of the Lord. Influences. Influences. The word influence, it means the captivity or power of persons or things, and to be a compelling force on or produce effects on the actions, behavior, the opinions of others. Amen. What you and I are does have an effect on somebody else. We are not just islands to ourselves. We don't live, amen, autonomous, amen, as much as we think. Amen. The Lord only knows the people that is watching us. Every step that you take, every gesture that you do, every idle word that you say, there's an ear, there's an eye that's beholding it. And somewhere, somebody's going to try to walk just like you. Somebody's going to use the same words, the same stories that you used. Because, after all, it's the power of influence. My father, who is 89 years old in Oklahoma, was a powerful influence to me. It was my dad's praying, amen, as a center boy, amen, being raised in Pentecost, amen, my dad's prayers. I'm telling you, I thank God for my dad's influencing prayers. I don't know where I'd be today if it wasn't for a praying dad. Dads, be a praying dad. Let those kids hear dad praying. I'm a believer in praying in the home, not just at church time. My daddy showed me that you can get snotty and sweaty, amen, in the living room, praying and sobbing and blowing his nose on handkerchiefs, interceding and crying out to God. Amen. God, give our church revival. God, save my boy, amen, from the flames of hell. God knows my dad had an influence on my life. The preachers in my life. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I love preachers. I can point fingers all through this auditorium and up here. Younger than me, older than me, my peers that have touched my life. I'm not self-created. I'm not self-grown. Somebody put their hands on my life. Somebody sent me down, amen, in a chair a time or two and said, you're going to listen to me, Dennis Mantooth. I said, yes, sir. One of them sits here, and I call him my pastor, and that's Elder Morton. I call myself the adopted son. I had to beg him to be my pastor. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, amen. Amen. I'm glad he's my pastor. And I want want you to know, say to God, preachers have pastors. Pastors should have pastors. We need pastors. I need somebody, amen, to look over my life. Amen. I don't want to just look in the mirror and see my face. I want my life surrounded by apostolic influence. I don't care how young, much younger they are than me. Amen. The older, the better, but it don't matter to me. I want somebody that can reach into my life. I want somebody saying, hey, 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 listen, I want you to listen to me. Influences. We are affected by influences. We are facing one of the most challenging eras of time. I had a laptop computer for a very short time, and all I could ever do was use my Bible programs. Please, what I'm about to say, I'm not preaching against computers. I'm preaching about the dangers of the technology that has the power of influence. I admit to you, I am willingly ignorant. I don't know how to turn on a computer. I had to get up at 4:30 a.m. this morning and write my notes out. I wish I knew more. I leave that to my wife and to my daughter. Amen. I don't know how to cut and paste. I wish I did. Amen. It probably gave me a couple more hours sleep. Amen. But I'm telling you, amen, we are in a danger zone, amen, of the influence, amen, of the things that is being pumped out of hell, amen, coming off the assembly lines, amen, faster, amen, than we can even keep up with it. I've got to ask people, what does this mean? What's that? Somebody's talking something the other day, somewhere I was at, I said, what are y'all talking about? I don't know what that means. Tell me about it. What is it? Amen. Amen. I'm not saying my ignorance is the way to go. Amen. I'm just saying there's a danger of the influence of the technology that we are faced with. It's an influence. It can alter your values. It can alter your perception. It can intoxicate your soberness and sound reasoning and get you to do something stupid that you'll regret for the rest of your life. Remember this, friend. Garbage in, garbage out. Praise the Lord. Influences play a big part of what our life is. Amen. The iPhones. I'm not preaching against iPhones. I'm just saying, I'm naming some things. Is that okay? Facebook. Facebook. Amen. A preacher told me here about a year ago, he preached a message. He used an illustration that puts the fear in my bones. You almost have to be careful what you say on Sunday night, because by Monday morning, somebody's reading what you preached. Preacher preached something, used an illustration. Amen. Come Monday afternoon, it was already spread over some Facebook thing of what he said. Somebody got wind of it, put two and two together. Amen. If somebody's upset. I'm talking about from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast. Things move fast. I'm just saying, we got to make sure that the right influences is having the right effect in our lives. I've come too far. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We were somewhere the other night with our evangelist, Brother and Sister Brown, and we were in a restaurant, and I'm not going to go into it, and I'm not going to tell you what happened. But the influences, and somebody alluded to this briefly in this conference, the things in our societal breakdown, in the decay, in the digression, amen, of civility and what is normal and what is called godly and holy. Let me tell you something. Let me put it this way. We have arrived to the day that when that which is good is called evil, and that which is called say. Might keep a young lady from raising a baby by herself. Might keep a young man out of jail. Kids might come home and daddy and mama both be there. The wrong influences is breaking down the marriage and the home. Amen. And the relationship between the pew and the pulpit. Oh God, bring back the old again. Bring back what I call old, but it's new. It's never gotten old. It's not antiquated. This message of separation is not dinosaur. It's not Neanderthal preaching. It's update. It's current. It's in vogue with apostolic structure. Amen. It's what God is right now. He is God, and he doesn't change for nobody and no generation. Hallelujah. God's word, God's voice is greater. Amen. The majority vote. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible talks a lot about influences. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, be not deceived. Oh, I don't want to be deceived. Deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. They say you're known by the people you hang around. I know as a pastor, as all these pastors know, amen, when you're least for me, in our prayer time before service, I like being on my platform. I like walking. I like being up there. I like sitting down, amen, and praying and just sitting and praying. Amen. Sometimes I want to think about my left foot going in front of my right foot and then my right foot. I want to sit, amen, and I want to think about God and get the mind of God. I want to get the influences of the day out of my head. There's people when they walk through them doors, you haven't been with them. You haven't woke up with them. You don't know if the toast was burned or it was perfect. You don't know if they read a red light or not. You don't know, amen, one thing from the other, because you can't live everywhere where everybody's at. Only God can know those things. Amen. But you can tell when people come in and there's a residue, there's a residual effect that is still hanging on them. There's a distant look in their eyes. Their pupil doesn't look quite right. The day's events of what they have been, what they have read, what they have heard, what they have said, everything about them, amen, is a witness that some influence has crept upon them. And they, of all people, and listen to it. I thank God for apostolic ministry. I thank God, amen, for apostolic ministry. Amen. I thank God that there is a place, amen, that God has provided. Amen, that there is no escape for those that want to be the pure in heart. If you want to be pure in heart, get ready. Amen. Because God's going to walk your hallways. If you want to be pure in heart and you've got a passion to want to be right and live right day in, day out, rain or shine, whatever comes or goes, whoever prays through, whoever backslides, whatever you gain, whatever you lose, amen, there needs to be a passion in your heart. God, whatever you got to do, bring the right influence, amen, into my life. The preacher, the word of God, prayer, fasting, and most of all, God, you. It's incomplete. recently, I said, if you tell the truth, you never have to worry, amen, what you lied about. If you live right, you never have to worry about what you've done wrong. Influences play a part of our makeup in every singular life in this building today. There is the composition and the makings of many people in our life. I remember my first pastor that baptized me in Jesus' name. I remember my second pastor. Amen. He told me, Dennis Mantooth, if you're going to learn anything, you're going to have to learn to pray. I wanted to know how to pray. And I sought out those that I knew how to pray. And I said, preacher, pastor, teach me to pray. I want to know how to touch God. I want to know how prayer can work in my life. Not for Jesus to give me everything I want, but God can shape me and God can mold me and God can work on my insides. Amen, amen. I want effectual influence in my life. I don't want to be the village idiot walking through the ranks of Pentecostalism. Amen. And there be something stuck in my spirit and I'm the least to know. Hallelujah. We got to be willing to let something go deep. Brother Darren's John said this. Amen. We don't need to consider how deep, amen, the bit goes inside of us. Amen. I don't care. God, bring a D10 or D8 tractor. Amen. Bring the rippers in. Whatever it takes. Get out of me, God. What don't need to be there. I want to love everything that God loves. And I want to hate everything that God hates. But you're not going to know that if you don't surround, amen, and assert yourself to know the right influence. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible is full of illustrations of people that heeded the wrong, amen, influences. It's God for every one of them, those, amen, that heeded, amen, and gave real attendance, amen, to the right influences. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 22, amen, it tells, amen, of Hosea, amen, the son of Ahab began to reign over Israel in Samaria the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Where did he learn this? He learned it from mom and he learned it from dad. Mom and Dad, what are you teaching? Brother McJohns, amen. I wish you'd have preached this. What are they learning, Mom and Dad? What do they see when Mom's in the kitchen? What do they hear coming from closed doors? Is there a confusion in the home? Amen. Is there a tenseness? Amen. Brother Johns, I was going to touch on this. Amen. But I'm telling you, amen, you can't have what he said, fighting and bickering, and come to the house of God and feel the touch of God and feel the flow of God and even know the mind of God. You got to get that clutter out of your spirit. Amen. That's a bad influence for you, for the family of the church. It doesn't make for good things. 2 Chronicles 22 and 3 is speaking of Hosea again. Amen. And it says, he also walked in the way of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Think of it. His mother was his wicked, evil counselor. Hallelujah. That's a frightening thing. That's a scary thing. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, mothers, 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 mothers. Oh, mothers of Israel, mothers of Apostolic Oneness Pentecost, open your ears today. Would you give heed to this today? Amen. Don't be an evil mother in Israel. Teach your kids. Amen. That's your daddy. That's the preacher. Don't go home. I know we've heard this preaching before, but I want to say this is need to be said a lot too. They don't need stupid preacher. They don't need preacher roast on Sunday or Wednesday or any day of the week. I'm going to tell you something, Mom and Dad. It'll come back and bite you one day. You saw that in their head. You'll be on the end, amen, of trying to figure it out. It'll be you that'll be dragging them by the hand and knocking on the preacher's door. Verse 4 of 2 Chronicles 22 says, wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors. That's where his influence came from. And it goes downhill. What one generation does in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. Hallelujah. Who influences your life? Who has power over influence? Of shaping and forming your values. Who is erecting an image in your mind, amen, of what is right and what is wrong. Amen, my left hand, this is your left hand. This is your right hand. Amen, I want you to know the right influences will keep out, amen, a cloudy head. Amen, a foggy vision. Amen, amen, the right influences, amen, will keep you from getting dull ears. Influences the shape of life. When we were assisting my brother-in-law in Southern California back in 1985, Brother Clifford Clark, to 1989 approximately, I shared some of this stuff with a man that was a full-time assistant, and there was a man that he was one of my responsibilities to work with, and I'm not going to give no names, but I'm just telling you something here. I talked to him about this. I don't know how many times I told him, amen, you don't understand what you're doing to your boy, your daughter, your family, your wife. Amen. You're showing the wrong influence. Amen. And I use that word over and over again in my office, in restaurants, in the parking lot, in his own house. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, this guy got so mad. Amen. He laid me in wait. Amen. With a handgun. He wanted to blow me away. He poisoned my food once. It's dangerous to tell some people the truth. I wouldn't know until just a few years ago, amen, some of those things. I was preaching a revival in Southern California, and there was a preacher said, Brother Mantoo, there's a lady here. She needs to talk to you. Do you know so-and-so? I said, yes. Amen. She said, you know what, Brother Mantoo, I got to tell you some things I couldn't tell you back then, because if I'd have told you, you know, my husband would have killed me. He would have killed every one of us and probably would have killed you. Because some people just don't want to hear that they're a bad influence. Today, the family's all messed up. These are things that are played out, sadly, all over the world. Somebody just doesn't want to hear that they're doing it wrong. They don't want to know a better way to accomplish, amen, a right thing.
The boy got his head blown off with a 12-gauge shotgun, knocked on the wrong door at the wrong time, the age of 13, 4 a.m. in the morning. He didn't know that that man on the other side of the door had just got a call from a drug dealer. The drug dealer was coming to get his pay. So I'm going to give me the money or I'm going to blow you away. Just two doors down in an apartment complex. But Daddy influenced his life that you don't have to listen to the preacher. You can live your life any way you want. You're your own free moral agent. When he knocked on that door, the man on the other side of the door was ready with a 12-gauge sawed-off shotgun, thinking it was the drug dealer, and it was a 14-year-old boy. Opens the door, and he pushed it into his face and pulled the trigger. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, amen. Moms and dads, make sure, amen, that you're giving the right influence to those babies of yours. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not, I'm telling you, I am hung up. I have been hung up for months now on Romans 12, 1 and 2. He said, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. Don't be influenced. This word means this world, if it could, and all of its vile elements, and all of its repugnancy and disgust and rancidness and perversion, if it could, it would break you up and break you down and melt you down and pour you literally into its mold. The influence of this world will shape you. It'll make you something you wish you never became. Talking to a preacher, called me recently from out of the state, and he was almost near frantic in his spirit. But what he said and what he asked, brother, it's been echoed and sounded by preachers even in this state and others. What is going on, Brother Mantooth? He said, it's like we come to church, and it's like I'm staring in the face of mannequins. Amen. They're there. They're sitting where they always sit. But it's like there's no life in their eyes. Amen. They're stoic. They just sit there. Nothing moves them. There's nothing. There's no message. There's no song. No testimony. There's absolutely nothing that exerts any kind of virtue of life into them. What is going on? I said, listen, I don't know about you, but others are saying the same thing. It's the spirit of the age. It's the influence. Amen. Brother, a piece of the Antichrist spirit. It's desensitizing. It's numbing and dulling our spiritual senses. That is of the most essentiality that we have to survive and make it to heaven. When you lose your GPS spiritually, and the things of this world are weighing in on you, there is, church, I wish more saints could sit on the front, on the platform every once in a while and get a platform view. Things that would literally light up, amen, with thrill and glory in some people's souls. Some people just stand there and sit there, amen, in their mind. Where is their mind? I don't know where it's at. But something is not connected. Something's not honing in.
thrill them and leap inside of their soul, amen, with splendor and glory that it makes them stand and shout, amen. That's right, preacher. Preach it, preacher. Glory to God, that is the word. Thank God for truth. No, they can't. Their ears are filled with all kinds of other stuff. They're finding pleasure somewhere else. Influences have homed in on them. Influences have sought them out like a hound dog. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Amen. The devil cannot read your mind. It's the Lord that trieth the reins of the heart. The writer said, let every thought, let the words of my lips, everything be acceptable unto thee, O God. But I want you to know, and I'm here to preach Jesus, not the devil, but I'm going to say this. He can tell by probing you what's going on in your head. He's got eyes. He's got ears. Amen. And he can see where you're focused. He can see what you're looking at, whether you're in a multitude of people or not. You're not going to fool him. Amen. He can get in an angle, and he can look from a distance and see what you're looking at. David said, or rather Job said these words, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maiden? Is that antiquated preaching? Is that still good in 2012? Does it still work in our day and time where we are filled and inundated with pornography and the pus of hell and every vile evil that they're trying to produce and make us accept? What about our babies? There's many pastors here. Some of you I know better than others. I feel good my family could be in your church and be making it. Amen. But I'm particularly glad my son and my grandbabies and my daughter-in-law is in Elder Morton's church. And I told my son last weekend, and I took my babies to Elder Morton, and I said, you're in a safe place, David and Clayton. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. The world is brutal. Amen. It's harsh. Amen. It's waves going to and fro. It's dashing every vulnerable foe against its rocks. It'll smash you. It'll tear you, rip you apart into a memory. Amen. But the last place, amen, that needs to be a war zone is the house of God. Get me to the house of God. Get me to that song service. Get me into that prayer. Bring the preacher on. Get me in that altar service where I can linger. Where I can talk to God. Paul was a tremendous figure of influence. Timothy soaked it up. But Demas, on the other hand, had other things on his mind. It's an oddity to me. I can't try to figure this out. I preached and evangelized. I evangelized rather for 15 years. Amen. Across the United States. I cannot understand it, even as a pastor of three churches. Why in an altar service? Amen. You got sinners. Hardcore. Out of the world. Never heard this message. And they are coming to our altars. They're taking out tobacco. They're laying down cocaine. They're laying the filth of this world. The rot this world on the altars, and it looks like saints, amen, are standing in line to pick it up. It's like the saints are, here's this poor soul spilling their guts out. Take this, God, out of me. God, deliver me of this. Lord, here, you can have this. Amen. They're saying things that they don't have. They're so innocent. They're spewing out things out of their mouth. Amen. I've had to go up to them sometimes and say, should I pray a little? Don't say that so loud. They don't know. All they know is I can't stand this burden of sin on my life. I can't stand these addictions. I can't stand what this has made me. I don't like the person I've become. I don't like the influences that have affected me. And of all people, young people, saints are looking at those things with curiosity. Hallelujah. Influences do affect your life, folks. Don't ever be fooled. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. Let's praise musicians. Influences. Oh God. Oh God. Elijah had a faithful servant, Elisha. Something trickled down out of the spirit and out of the bosom of Elijah. It wasn't the simple washing of hands, amen, but there was something, no doubt, amen, in those moments of being there for the prophet man, the men of God. Something got into Elijah. I believe that values begin to turn and begin to change. There was something appealing, not for the glory, but for the cause that he saw emulated out of the life of Elijah. That he knew if the work's going to get done and if Israel is going to hear a voice, it's going to take this kind of dedication and this type of commitment. It's true, we don't hear enough about commitment. Loyalties. Giving yourself. Abandoning yourself for the cause. Brother Don Heiler, the man that was my first pastor, was your pastor at one time too. I came into this at the age of 18, a bump on an apostolic pew. Finally, I got tired of the influences in my life, and I wanted God. I wanted what my mama told me. I wanted the experience what my dad heard pray for me. I wanted what that Sunday school teacher told me as a little kid. I wanted that. All I knew is I wanted that. Can I tell you, I was never happy in the world. I don't know how anybody can. All the disaster, trouble it brings. If they tell you they are, it's a lie, most likely. It's a facade. It's a veneer. They're faking it. You can't watch your body break down from alcohol and drugs. The harsh life that ages you tears and rips at the tissue of your face and gnaws constantly in your brain. Your heart is always at the precipice of coming apart. You feel like your life is being spread to the four corners of the winds. The misery, the loneliness, the constant fear of passing out and waking up in hell. Those are the things I thought about. But when they told me in that little church in Southern California that Jesus is so good, I believed it. I was not qualified to do what this pastor asked me to do. I was not qualified. I'm just telling you up front, I was not qualified. I was barely 3 or 4 months living for God, 18 years old. Pastor couldn't get nobody to do it. Nobody else wanted to have time for bus route. Nobody else wanted to go knock doors. He walked up to me. I don't know what day of the service it was, but he walked up to me and said, "Don't you want to do something for God?"
I said, yes, I do. Whatever I can do, Pastor. He said, put your hand out. 18 years old in about 3 or 4 months. Never drove a bus. Didn't know how to drive a bus. I put my hand out, dropped something in my hand. He said, that's the ignition key. That's the gas cap key. Go down here to such and such place and get you the gas. He said, you just bought yourself a bus route. I went out there, turned that thing on, played with the gadgets and looked at the instruments, kind of figured out. He said, take it for a run. I took it around that area of South Downey called Dog Patch. Drove around, kind of figured out how to work the gears. The next week I went out, started knocking on doors. Start filling up that bus. 40-some passenger bus. I'm going to tell you something. That was a good influence in my life. About 3 or 4 weeks later, he says, had a Sunday school teacher stop. Quit. Don't want to teach you anymore. I'm saying this because of influence. He said, you think you can bust them in and then teach them? I said, I don't know. I never taught a class. I hadn't even been living for God a year. I said, what do I teach? He went and got me an old Word of Flame publishing teacher's book. Put that in my head and said, just go study it. Figure it out. Got my Bible. Figured a few things out. Some things I was young, folks. I was wet behind the ears. But there was influences that was working on me. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. I got good memories, young people. Oh, I made my share of mistakes. Amen. And I got a few blunders behind me. But there was influences that was pressing in on me. There was things that I got in an altar and in the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. That taught me about the love of God and the love for souls and evangelism and revival and prayer in the Word of God. Amen. I did the only thing I knew to do is I gave myself to it. And over the years of life, I've tried to surround myself with those men, and many of them are present in this building right now. Joseph, and I'm closing as we all stand. Joseph could be sold into slavery. Go to a land that he wasn't born in. The influence of mom and dad was in him. Egypt could not get that out of him. Daniel, during the exile and the fall of Jerusalem, in the three stages that it was brought down, Daniel, some of the princes, theologians say,
first.
Push tension behind me. I feel a pressure in my back moving me to more prayer, pushing the plate away, cracking open that book, wanting to hear preaching. Hallelujah. Wanting revival, wanting evangelism. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. I don't know what you feel. I don't know how you would put it in your words. I try to put it in the best words I can. But time is running out. What we've got to do, we got to do quickly. We got to do fast. The coming of the Lord is nigh at the door. I can't bring back the years that I wasted. I can't bring back the prayerless days, the fastless days, the hours that I did not spend in the Word of God. I can't do that. I wish I could. But I can't remake what is not makeable again. But I got today. I got this moment. I got this minute. I got this service. I got this moment with God and God's people. Can I do this? Can I ask all of our children, our young people first, whatever you fit in your category of your church, amen, I want you to come up here. I got a burden. We're going to have a church. God said He's going to have a church. And it's going to be without spot. It's going to be without wrinkle. God's going to have a church. But we don't need to lose any more than we have to. You don't have to become spiritually discombobulated and lose yourself and go into a spiritual vertigo. There's a place for you to go that you've never been. There's a rendezvous in an altar that's just begging for your presence. There's a dedication that is saying, hey, come here. Come here. This dedication will take you somewhere. It'll put something in you that this world could never reach and never do for you. Amen. Young kids, I want you to come up here. Amen. I believe in preserving our heritage. I believe, and I'm going to pray, God, I'll fight for the defense of our children and our youth and our churches. The preservation of morality. Holiness within. Holiness without. Teenagers, whatever you fit in your church, come up here. Amen. Come on up here. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Don't wait till you get to my age or the age of your parents to try to get up. Prayer life. Get it now. Make up your mind. I'm going to get a fix on a prayer life. I'm going to get sunk. I'm going to dig my feet in. I'm going to get a prayer life. I'm going to know what it is and how to touch God. I'm going to know how to relate to the preacher. And then when he says, church, let's get the mind of God for this. Moms and dads, preacher friends, let's pour in behind these. We don't need busted up marriages. We don't need young people that's going to make a mistake. Amen. And go into a worse situation. There's too much good. There's too much to gain. There's too many riches in Christ to lay hold of. Come on. I want that dedication. I want that commitment. I want to build that altar. Mom and Dad's not going to build it. My pastor's not going to build it. I'm going to do it with my own hands. I'm going to make it. I'm going to build it wide and tall and strong. Because when the storms come in, it's going to be something that God spare your people. Somebody stand between the porch and the altar. Is there somebody that can cry aloud? Spare generation. Spare heritage. God, may they be given over to apostolic influence. Spread your wings, Almighty, over us. Let us move and walk and have our being under the shadow of your wings. Get the counsel of God in your head and in your heart. It won't lead you astray. Say whatever. It'll preserve you. It'll help you pick the right person. Not just anybody. Not the first thing that comes around. Come on. All I want, this is all I want. I want to be like Jesus.